I've been singing about my Lord for many years. I've sung when I've been happy. I've sung when I've had tears. Some folks have even questioned if it's all been just a show. But the reason that I'm singing, I want the world to know. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's still the power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing for all eternity. I have sung to those who are walking through their fiery trials. I've watched as saddened faces turn into happy smiles. Then I bow my head and whisper, Lord, please do the same for me. And I'm glad that I can tell you that He's given victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's still the power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing for all eternity. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because one day I'm going home where I shall sing for all eternity.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. That's a good reason to sing. That's a blessing. Brother Sam, your back may have been hurting. He hurt his back some couple of weeks ago, and he's been battling with that, but it wasn't hurting his fingers tonight, was it? And he was getting with the program. That was a blessing. I like it. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. Teach him not to waste that. Teach him to say amen, okay? All right, let's stand together, please, and we'll begin to read in verse number 22 of Mark chapter 3. The Bible says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said concerning Jesus, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? Jesus is saying, If I am doing what I'm doing by the power of the devil, how am I casting out Satan? How am I defeating Satan? By the power of Satan. And then he goes on and says, If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end." Now I want us to look at verse 24 and 25 tonight. The Bible says, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. I want to speak tonight on the subject, a house divided. A house divided. Now, this isn't a part of my message, but I want to just share with you a fear I have for my nation, my country. We have gotten to the place where we don't give a flip about the good of America as long as we can promote our political party. And today in America, instead of one nation under God, we've got two parties under themselves that are interested in only their agenda and hindering the other. America is bigger than that. And we better get back to the place where we realize that America needs God and needs people that are committed to God. People who will stand for right and stand for truth and make principle their priority and not a political party. America needs some things tonight that the Democrats or the Republicans cannot give us. And what we need, I don't know really that America wants. That's what scares me to death about this election. I'm afraid God's about to give us in our Congress, our Senate and our House, and our presidency, not what we need, but what we deserve. And that scares me to death. But I want to talk to you about something more important than Congress. I want to talk to you tonight about our families. A house divided. Jesus said, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. He's talking about our nation. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. He's talking about our homes, our families, our marriages. And he said that principle is so strong that even if Satan is divided against himself, if he opposes himself, then he cannot stand. There'll be an end to him. A house divided. Let me give you a couple of three more verses. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, just listen to me. You don't have to turn there. Jesus, or God, said, when he had created Adam and then brought a deep sleep upon him and created him, his wife Eve, and he awoke and God gave her to him, and God said, therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, God did not give that to Adam and Eve for Adam and Eve. They didn't have a mother or father. He gave it to them to teach their children. And then Paul used it again in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 31, and states it again concerning a husband-wife relationship. So God had us in mind when he gave that verse. And he's talking about not a divided house, but one flesh. One flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Over in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, the question is asked, not necessarily dealing with a home, but the question is applicable. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. No. I want to talk to you tonight for a little while about a house divided. And I bring this message to help you. To help your families, your marriages. Some of you young couples need to learn this principle and make a commitment to God that you're going to follow God's Word and the principles taught in God's Word concerning marriage. Some of you younger couples that have dreams and you don't have a mate, you'd like to, you need to realize that the young lady or the young man you choose, it doesn't matter if he's the most handsome guy and the most athletic guy in the school or she's the most beautiful. If there's not agreement and yielding, one of you yielding to the Bible principle, or both of you yielding to the Bible principle, you're not going to make it. Because a house divided cannot stand. Father, help me tonight. I want to be a blessing and a help to our dear people. We have some here tonight who have gone through the heartache of a divided home. Lord, I wish it had not been so, but it is. And somehow I pray that you'd help them to pick up the pieces and draw near to you and let you make the rest of their life what you want it to be. Because we know where they are right now is not what you wanted for them. And then there are some young ladies here, some wives here that are raising families on their own. Lord, I know they don't want to be alone. They'd like to have a husband. But Lord, help them to realize having a husband is not the main thing. If the husband is not committed to God and they go into a relationship where the home is divided, they'll just go through more heartache and hurt and sorrow. Would you help them to be wise in their decision making? And help them not to be emotionally moved, but help them to seek your guidance and your will for their life. Help young men and women who are married, beginning a life together, to learn this principle. A home can't have two heads. It can't have two people going in opposite direction and be what God wants it to be. And I pray they'll listen tonight and they'll make that commitment to you to fill their God-given place and honor you with their lives. For there's the place of blessing. There's the place of peace. There's the place of love and fulfillment in our lives. Now, I need your help tonight. Help me not to be long. Help me to say those things you'd have me to say to help our people. And help them to understand I'm not preaching at any one person. I'm preaching to help every person here. And I'll thank you in advance for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Eli came up to me a moment ago and showed me his new watch and pronounced to me that, "Preacher, I'm going to time you tonight." And I said, "All right, let me pray for you." And I said, "Dear God, if Eli times me, would you blow his watch up?" All right. Our subject tonight is, can a family exist happily and with God's favor when their house is divided? The answer is no, they cannot. Everything we read in the Bible about a family, marriage, or home is based upon a unity between that husband and that wife. We must not allow Hollywood or the secular world to become the authority or the guide for building a marriage or a family. We certainly must not allow Oprah to do it. As Christians, There must be one authority and one only for building our marriage. There ought to be one guide for us in all matters of our faith, belief, and practice. And that authority and guide must be the Word of God. For there in the Word of God we meet the designer of marriage. We meet the one who planned the home. And that's God. There we're introduced to the principles and truths upon which He intended for us to build our marriage and build our home. In the Word of God, we can know the mind of God on this subject of marriage. We can know how we're to build and lead our home and family in a way that pleases Him. But we must have and follow the Word of God. The question of questions is, are we willing to accept and follow God's Word and God's counsel in the matter of building and strengthening our marriage? God states emphatically that a house divided shall not stand. No argument, no place for appeal. God said, a house divided shall not stand. Now the principle as set forth by our Lord in the Word of God is seen here in Genesis 2:24 and Ephesians 5 verse 31. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And then Paul, quoting from that in Ephesians, said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now God's design and intent for a marriage and a home is that it exists as a unit and in unity. The word cleave and joined as used here means to take two things and weld together in such a way that those two things become one, and to separate them would hurt and destroy and harm both of them. Now, it's not God's plan or desire for a marriage or a home to exist of two people living separate lives, going in separate directions, sharing one bed. That's not God's plan for marriage. Now, I'm sad to say that that's what's happening in a lot of marriages tonight. But it's not God's plan. It's not God's principles. We're not following the teachings of God. For the home, God designed one head and one heart in two people. And though they are individual and different, they are to think as one, and their heart is to beat as one. The Bible makes it plain that the man is the head of the home. But may I hasten to say that the wife is the keeper of home. Someone said she's the heart of the home. The man leads and guides and provides, and the woman takes what he provides and mixes it with love and care and tenderness and turns it into a home for the family. The man is to be the spiritual leader of the home, and the wife is to be the comforter of the home. Man is to the marriage and home what Christ is to the church. And let me say to you that wife is to the home and to the marriage what the Holy Spirit is to the Christian. He's our comforter. He's the one that guides us and makes our life bearable down here. I'd hate to have to go home without wife being there. I can't imagine what the last 50 years would have been like had I had to live them without my wife. God's intent is that there be unity, there be love, there be comfort and encouragement in the marriage and in the home. He intended that a man or a woman be able to grow strong in the Lord and in His will in a marriage relationship and in a Bible home. God intended that home become a haven of encouragement, a place of hope, help, and love in spite of our shortcomings and frailties. It was in God's plan that the home and the church be the place designed by Him where we could reach our maximum potential in His design and plan for our lives. But for that to happen, it must exist in unity, and that unity must be in agreement with God's Word and design for marriage and the home. Second thing I want to point out tonight is there must be a time of yielding to the plan of God as revealed in the Word of God. The question is asked by our Lord in Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is a resounding no. They cannot. So why in the world do you think you two people can have harmony and love and agreement in a home where your beliefs are different, your habits are different, you're going in different directions, there's no agreement. Both of you want to be the head. What is implied here is that there is not a coming together and agreeing with each other only. It's implied that they need a coming together, and that'd be a great beginning, but the implication is that a husband and wife come together and agree with God and His design for the home. Agree with God's will and direction for their marriage and their home. That's a wonderful thing when a husband and wife does that. The emphasis is yielding our will to God's will, our opinions to God's Word, and yielding our ways, our way of life to God so that they might please Him. You know, I was sitting, preparing, working on the sermon. I'm studying it again this afternoon for tonight. My mind went back to that time when my wife and I came to this very place. She didn't marry a preacher. Though she went to church, I didn't know it, she wasn't even saved. She didn't get saved until after we were married. But I remember when, as a young couple, we decided the way we were living our life was not right and it was not what God intended. And we came together and agreed that we was going to begin to build our home and our marriage according to God's Word. And we yielded to Him. We surrendered our life and our home and our marriage to Him. It was a wonderful day in our life. And it's a wonderful day in any marriage, in any life, when we quit coming to, when we stop or cease coming to that place where we've got to have our way about everything and yield ourselves to God and say it's your way that's important. We came to that place where we made that commitment to each other that the husband was going to be the spiritual leader in the family. And the wife was going to be the keeper, the manager of the home. It's been a wonderful relationship. It was a great day in our life. And every young couple or old couple, if you haven't already, ought to come to that place in your life. It's amazing what peace, how wonderful peace can be. It's amazing how wonderful a marriage can be. I don't know about you. I'm not a fighter. When you grew up 5'10" and weighed 140 pounds, you're not known as a fighter. So you better learn to love peace and keep peace. I want you to know I still don't like to fight. I will. I will to defend my family. You let somebody come into my house and I wouldn't blink an eye to get my gun and blow them out of the living room to protect my family. You say, that's terrible. No, it's right. I'm a man. You bunch of wimps. You'd want to go off from a snow cone. I'll tell you, I'll fight for my church. You let somebody come try to introduce heresy to this church, and you better put on your gloves. You better get ready. Me and Jesus are going to say a thing or two to you. And if I'm going to tell the truth, guess whose side he's on? Now, there's some things worth fighting for. Let me tell you, our home and marriage is worth fighting the devil for and the world for, but you're never going to have peace in your marriage if you fight each other. There's got to be a time when you yield to the Word of God and the will of God to take your rightful place in the home and in the marriage. If I had to sit down in the pilot seat of a 757 and was told to fly it, I'm here to tell you we're headed for a crash because I'm not a pilot. And some of you ladies are getting in the pilot seat of your home trying to become the man, and you're not the man. You're not going to have God's favor and God's blessings. You're not going to have peace. You're going to raise up a bunch of children that are going to be frustrated with life, and because you're trying to be a man, the boy don't know whether he's a girl or a boy. Boy, it's a wonderful thing when a mama is sweet and tender and tough and smells good, and she loves daddy, and she can cook, and she can wipe your forehead when you're sick, and comfort you when you're hurting. Oh, if you have that kind of mama, you ought to thank God. And if your daddy is a man that comes in, he may be sweaty when he gets home, his hands may be rough working to provide for his family, or maybe he works with his head. He comes home and, man, he's put in a big day working. Comes home to care for the family, and he loves mama and he loves the kids. You ought to thank God every day for that. What a terrible thing for children to be raised up in homes where daddy and mama have declared war on one another. And the home is not a haven, it's a war zone. They grow up confused and frustrated. I'm simply saying to you, it's a wonderful thing when we come to that place where we yield to God's Word and God's will. And we're willing to fill our place. Well, bless God, I want my husband's place. It doesn't fit you. And some of you men, if you don't step up and be men, it's not going to fit you either. God didn't make the place of a husband in the home for some wimp. He intends for you to be a man. Get the lace out of your off your britches. Become a man. I worry about these pink ties. It's a wonderful thing when a husband and wife believes God's word and gets on their knees and say, God, we're not going to get our instructions from Hollywood or from Oprah or from any of these other so-called counselors. We're going to go to your word and we're going to build our marriage according to your word. And the man makes a commitment to be the man and the spiritual leader in the home. And the woman makes a commitment to be the wife and the keeper, the manager of the home. Oh, what a wonderful place for children to grow up. What a wonderful place for a man to come home to. What a wonderful place for a woman to fulfill God's purpose for her life. But there ought to be a place, and there must be a place, where we're willing to yield our life to the Word of God and the will of God in the matter of marriage. It's not God's plan that one get in a church and the other stay out of church. Nor is it God's plan for both to get out of His church. God intends for the husband and wife to get in the same church together and be faithful to attend regularly. Now God tells us plainly that we're not to be unequally yoked together. We're to be one. We're to be a unit in unity. This implies that one of the members of this family must yield to the other, so there can be unity. Man and woman is to yield to God and His Word. Woman is to yield to the husband if he has yielded to God and His Word. If the woman has yielded to God and His Word and the man is not, then this man should yield and grow and commit to learn and grow to become the leader and the head. God never asks us to yield to get out of God's will and to get away from God. It is in the direction of God and His Word that we must bend and yield regardless of who we are. Man may be the head, but the head can be wrong if not yielded to God and His Word. We must not take this lightly if we want a happy and blessed home. This principle is a must. There cannot be unity if there is disagreement. Someone must yield to the other, and the yielding must always be in the direction of God's Word, regardless of who we are. Then may I say in the third place, that God gives a plain warning to man if his house is divided. The warning is that if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom shall not stand or cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Now, I didn't get married 50 years ago to see it end in disagreement and failure and divorce. And I hope you didn't either. Marriage is not something you enter into for a 100-yard race. It's a lifetime commitment. Our marriage and home is not stronger than a kingdom. And God tells us if a kingdom is divided, it will not stand. Division always tears down and destroys. Division weakens the object that is divided until that object falls. God tells us that this principle is true even with Satan. If he is divided, he cannot stand, according to verse 26. The primary purpose of this discourse by our Lord is to warn us that unless we yield our ideas and our beliefs to the Word of God and become a home united, it cannot stand. Now, this is a danger every one of us must be aware of. There's no exceptions to this rule, none. The fall may not be divorce only. It may be divorce and the loss of the children and the loss of God's blessing, the loss of happiness and the loss of love. We better heed the warning. And then lastly, let me say very quickly, God expects the father to take the lead as the spiritual head of the family and lead his family into the will of God. Now, it's sad, but some of you would not have been here this morning had not the wife took the lead to get you up this morning, get you ready. And that's disgraceful. God expects the father to take the spiritual lead and the spiritual headship of the family and lead his family into the will of God. I know what some of you ladies are thinking. You're thinking, well, my husband won't do it. Then why don't you be smart and do those things to help him to become a leader? You know, instead of just taking the lead away from him, why don't you be wise enough to help him take the lead? Help push him to that place. You'd be surprised how he'd grow and could grow if he had a little help. So instead of taking the leadership away from your husband and saying, hey, dumb Jack, you just stay there, I'll do it. I'm the man of this house. Why don't you help him to grow and become a leader? See, that's one of the secrets in marriage is recognizing each other's weaknesses and being each other's strength in the area of their weakness. But we don't do it that way, do we? We say, honey, you're dumb in a rock right here. And we point it out and magnify their weakness instead of trying to cover it and protect her or him in the area of weakness. Be their strength. You know what that makes me feel like when I do that for my wife? Makes me feel like a man. Would you too if you tried? When my wife, instead of nagging at me about some area of weakness in my life, helps me to overcome it and be strong in that area, you know what it makes her to me? It makes her wonderful, precious, beautiful, desirable, because she loves me. God expects the father to take the lead as the spiritual head of the family and lead his family into the will of God. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15 says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, honey, would you like to serve God with me? No, he led his family. He didn't say, honey, would you like to serve that God of the Amorites? Or the God of the Egyptians? Or the gods of the other side of the flood? Or, honey, would you like to come to church with me and serve God? No, sir. He said, I don't know what you're going to do, but here, as for me and my house, my sweet wife, my children, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When I was a child growing up, mom and dad got saved when I was 5 or 6 years old. From that time forward, I never remember them asking me, Bobby, want to go to church this morning? Didn't work that way. Daddy come in and say, boy, get up. Church day. Get ready. We going to church. Mama got ready and went to church. My sisters got ready and went to church. That way it ought to be in your home. I never got up and asked my children, honey, want to go to church with me? After we made our commitment to God, it was understood that as for me and my house, we're serving God. And the Lord's day was His day. It wasn't picnic day. It wasn't hunting day. It wasn't fishing day. It wasn't lazy day. It was God's day. I look at some of you men that work hard all week long. And on Sunday, you're in your place in God's house with your family. Oh my, you know what that says about you? It says that in that body of skin and bones is a man trying to do right. We may not always do right. We may have to have help at times from our wife to be the leader we ought to be. But your being here says that there's something in there that wants to do right. Wants to be what God wants you to be. Oh, I love this passage of Scripture. Joshua said, fear the Lord, do you? Do you reverence Him as God? Or do you just do what you want to without any regard to Him? Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Serve Him. You know what that means? That implies willfully becoming a bond slave. And by the way, that's the only way you can become a bond slave. A bond slave is somebody that's been set free, but loves their master so much they give themselves back to the master to serve him for the rest of their life. That's what God tells us we're to do as Christians. We've been set free from the bondage of sin. We don't ever have to fear going to hell another day in our life. The only thing we'll ever know about hell is what we read in the Bible. And we ought to know Him and love Him so much that we don't want to be free from Him. We give ourselves back to Him to serve, to please Him for the rest of our life. You know what, I don't see a lot of that today. Here's what I do see. I see Baptists today say, well, you know, I believe in Christian liberty. And they use that word liberty as a license to live in sin the way they want to without any regard to the will of God for their life. Fear Him and serve Him in sincerity, with integrity. That means not as little as we can get by with, but serve Him in such a way that we do our best for the Savior. And to serve Him not only in sincerity, but in truth, honestly. and in accordance to the Word of God. And make a commitment. Make a real choice about who you'll serve. Be definite. Be honest. Make a commitment. Don't be wishy-washy about it. Father, you ought to lead the way. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when you make your decision, you better realize you're choosing not just for you, but your entire family. You're choosing for life and for eternity. And your choice will determine God's blessings or God's judgment. There must be agreement on that choice, or your future in this life is bleak. When you make that a choice, you'd better remember the admonition of the Lord that your choice will affect your family for four generations or more. The only right choice is to choose to serve Him. And God's will is that husband and wife and family learn to serve Him faithfully together. Together. Father, that's our message. Thank you for your admonition in Scripture. Thank you for your plan for our lives and our homes and our marriage. God, you didn't plan failure for us. Failure is the result of sin and wrong, not yielding to your word and your will. God, help each of us tonight to look at our own marriage and our own home. Help us to come together as a husband and wife, if we haven't already, and yield ourselves to you and your word, to take our place in our home and fill it for the glory of God, to be the best husband we can be and the best Christian we can be and the best spiritual leader we can be for our home. Be the best wife and mother we can be. The best keeper and manager at home. That we can possibly be. And then, oh God, may our children grow up and rejoice and bless your name. Because they were in a home where mother and daddy were committed together to fulfill your will and your purpose. Now, Lord, you know us. You know where we have needs. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. And as we begin to sing an invitation song tonight, maybe you need to come. Maybe you and your husband or you and your wife would come and kneel together. Or maybe you're here tonight and you just need God's help in your life, in your marriage. Why don't you come and ask God? We have not because we ask not. Or maybe you're here and you've been saved and you need to make it public and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come? Whatever you have need of. Or maybe you're a young person. You know you'd like to have a home like the Bible talks about. It'd be good right now if you'd make that commitment to God that you're not going to settle for less. And that means you've got to be what God wants you to be as a man or as a woman. Won't you come tonight and use this altar? Make that commitment to Him.